Hello, everyone. Sorry, I'm still getting set up. Make sure everything is microphone, speaker. Can everybody hear me? Oh, good, 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 good. We've had all sorts of challenges. The last few live streams I've done, for some reason, the sound didn't work well. The settings look good. So let me keep admitting people here. Joining. Wonderful. Excellent. Well, it's good to see your faces. I hope everyone's doing well. We'll jump in here. People are still coming in. So as you guys know, especially those of you who are regulars, we never know if we're going to have a couple or a bunch, but hi, Edie, good to see you. We've missed you the last few, but we know with the time difference, it can be challenging, but wonderful to see you. All right, I'm going to keep my eye in the upper right-hand corner for a minute while everybody comes in. Stephen Shelley, always good to see you, my friend. I'd love, when we start sharing and talking, I'd love an update on your cousin we've been praying for, continue praying for. I know there's been good news, but I also know that even with Uri's being cancer-free, sometimes there's leftover effects of chemo and thing like that. So just know we continue to pray. All right. Well, I'll try to continue to watch the upper corner, and I think I get a thing in the middle here, but we'll go ahead and jump in. Good to see everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. I know I say this every month, but I mean it every time I say it. We so look forward to these. And between us, I want to say that I'm actually going to write our partner letter here today for the next one that goes out. And I think I'm going to make mention to everybody about the Zoom. Because we love doing them. We love getting to share face-to-face and see you. I love the interactive time at the end where we can pray together and pray for each other. To be blunt, I'm just amazed that more people don't jump on with us. And we're happy to do it when it's, I mean, we've done it when it's three or four of us. We've done it when it's 30 of us. And we're happy just to do it. It's our way of serving you. But I don't know. I so enjoy them. I just want to make sure more partners know about them. Part of me really loves it the way it is, because usually with this size, we get to hear at least a little bit from everybody. But I do hope that we get more and more partners involved, because I look at like what we get with the web church, where we do something like this and we get 60, 90, 100 people on at one given time. So more than anything, though, we're glad for those of you partners who are jumping on, and that you were that we get to serve you this way. So thank you for being a part of this. Our topic this month is the shoes of peace, and I want to talk about that. But before I do, I want to make sure you guys know about something that we're really excited about. We had a new book come out. It literally arrived yesterday. This is from the very first palette. It's our book. Every single thing our ministry does, we do it together, because even if like this one, my name happens to be on the cover of this one, often, as you know, it's Patricia's name on the cover, but we're all praying into them. We're all living for the kingdom together, where the revelation comes from. So anytime something like this happens, it's really our whole ministry partnering together, and it's fruit of what we're all doing together in the spirit, with sewing, with prayers, with all of it. So one of the other reasons I wanted to make sure you guys know is, for those of you in the US and Canada, we actually, this book doesn't come out until October 18th. But because it's our ministry book, Destiny Image sent us a palette of books yesterday. And we've got, I don't know, roughly 1,000, 1,200, something like that, that they said it's okay for us to sell through our store before it's officially available. Right now, we're only shipping to the US and Canada, but we're doing a couple things. If you order in the US and Canada, not only you get the book roughly a month before anybody else, but we're also doing a 20% discount, and every copy We're praying, the intercessors are praying over, and then I take the boxes they've prayed over and I'm personally signing them and praying over each copy. So that'll go on. I think that that goes on for like a week or two. For those of you, we've also had a lot of interest and people saying, hey, I'm in, you know, Asia, I'm in the UK, I'm in Europe. How do I get a copy? Right now, the only way to get a copy is to get a digital copy. The nice thing is Destiny does a really high-end, really nice digital copy, or digital edition, I should say, where there's like, you know, you can go in and highlight and make notes in it. It's not just a PDF, but it's a full-on ebook. And you can get that through Amazon Kindle, and you can pre-order it now. But here's the deal. If you can use Apple iBooks, or Apple Books, I think it's just called now, they currently, when I checked 2 days ago, they were offering a pre-release order special where you could get the book for 50% off the cover price. So it's a really good deal. If you have if you like eBooks, some books I like to have in hand. Like, I still do my Bible all with a real Bible, but there's many other books I read digitally. I read a lot on my iPad. So I like eBooks, and I find it very easy because I can take them with me wherever I go and I don't have a stack of books in my satchel. But if you can go with either format, take advantage of the big sale the really great offer, I should say, that Apple has right now, and get the book for 50% off. So I wanted to make sure you guys all knew about that. I also want to let you guys know I'm a little sleep deprived, and I'm also really curious, because the reason I'm sleep deprived is I don't fully understand yet, but I have been awake in the night I wake up anywhere between 12:30 and 2 a.m. and then I'm usually up till around 3 or 4. And I'm just curious, Wave, if any of you are going through that. I've been surprised by the number of people I've talked to there's a lot of resistance in the spirit right now. I was doing a live stream yesterday in New Zealand, and let me admit Juliet. I was doing a live stream yesterday in New Zealand and was sharing about this. And I would say maybe a quarter to a third of the people said they were doing the same thing or experiencing the same thing. But then when I talked about the level of resistance that's going on in the spirit right now and the level of warfare going on in the spirit, almost every single person on this stream, and it was with a church in New Zealand, but it was a stream that was going throughout Southeast Asia and a lot of Europe as well. Almost every single person said they were feeling the resistance. And I want to start with this because it's really important that we focus right now and remember, because the resistance is fairly intense. And I shared on a previous Zoom how the first half of this year was some of the most intense spiritual warfare I've ever experienced, to where for no reason, and it wasn't logical, I was constantly having these thoughts of, what's the point? You know, 18 and a half years in ministry, what's the point? Nothing's, and just complete lies, to where I had to get very intentional to sit in my prayer chair and spend time with the Lord, reflecting on all the amazing things I've seen him do through our ministry in the last 18 and a half years, and all the things I've seen him do in the last 20 years of, well, almost 20 years, 20 years in November, 20 years in 6 weeks, I'll have been a Christian for, or 7 weeks, I'll have been a Christian for 20 years. And I would sit and spend time with the Lord and praise him for starting with just praising him so much for my salvation, because of all the amazing things I've seen him do. There's nothing more amazing that he reached a man who was as hard-hearted, stiff-necked, blind, deaf, and dumb to the good news of the gospel as I was. To, as you guys know, I was a mocker and persecutor of Christians in the church. And the fact that he found a way to save me, there's nothing, of all the miracles I've seen, of all the things I've seen him do around the world, of the shelves full of resources that I've developed with him and for him, none of it compares to the fact that he found a way to save me. He found a way to make himself real to me when I was so hard-hearted. And I have so much faith for every one of your prodigals, because I've been reflecting on this thing of like, devil, you can lie to me all day long. You can attempt to discourage me all day long. I am not going to hell, because my God loves me. And I know how much He loves everybody. I have such a deep sense of the certainty of my sonship and the love of my God. And I know it's all for me. And yet I know he feels exactly the same way about even the most stiff-necked, angry, rebellious prodigal out there. And I want to encourage you that in this season where the resistance is so strong, the resistance is this strong. And I know this has almost become a Christian cliche, and we can hear it and go, I know, but man, I just wish the resistance would let up. But the resistance is this intense because the devil truly knows if we wake up to what God is waking us up to, if we wake up to the realms of power that are available to us in Jesus Christ, the whole reason I wrote this book, that book came out of a visitation of the Lord. When I was out at the shops, I was out running errands for Uri and me, and not thinking anything spiritual. I mean, I think I had just come out of the grocery store or the dry cleaner. I can't remember, but I can see the block of shops where I was. I just don't remember because it was 2 years ago. If I'd gone to grocery store, then dry cleaner, or dry cleaner, then grocery store. And when I came out and got in my Jeep, I went to start the engine. I started it before I could put it into gear. My Jeep filled up with the presence of the Lord, and it wasn't an audible voice, but it was this revelatory realm where he just started outlining this book to me, not writing it word for word, but told me the title, told me the names of the chapters, gave me key points to hit to reveal in the chapters, and then the keys, the steps to make it easy for every single believer, or simple, I should say, for every single believer to step into realms of power. And it was wonderful because so many of the realms are ones you'd expect, you know, like the working of miracles, the power of decree, the power to shift atmospheres, all of the stuff we think of as power, and simple ways to step into those realms and start moving in those realms and establishing those realms in your life to even greater degrees if you're already moving in it. But then there were other realms that I didn't even think of as power realms. And the reason I'm bringing this up is we are in such a back to basic season with God. And this is an exciting thing. Back to basics doesn't mean back to the beginning, back to square one, back to starting all over again. Just the opposite. Because we are about to see an advance of the gospel in the earth, like I don't think we've seen since the first century church, God is wanting to root us and ground us in the basics because the basics work. And that's why the enemy is resisting so strongly. Like I said, for 6 solid months, the first half of this year, almost every day, the enemy was trying to relentlessly assault me with discouragement, with frustration, with fatigue, with what's the point? What is it all? Does any of this even matter? And it seems so real because you're just lost in the bombardment of the lies of the enemy and the thoughts. But when I got intentional, because I've decided that my perspective, the perspective heaven has given me, is when there's resistance like this, I must shake off a victim mentality. Because when there's that level of resistance and warfare and oppression, let's just call it oppression from the enemy, it's so easy to feel like the enemy's winning because it is affecting our mood. It is affecting our outlook. It might even be affecting our energy levels. But heaven has helped me see that while all of that is real, it's not the enemy winning. It's the enemy pulling out every effort because he's actually terrified. And I'll give you a biblical example of that in a second. But what heaven helped me do was it gave me the grace and the faith to realize the level of lies and then really get back to basics. And we've talked about this so many times. What does the Bible say? Simple. To put on the garment of praise to lift off the spirit of heaviness. So we think that means praise, you going into worship and praise, and that works. I've done that and it works. But another way of praising God is sitting and reviewing the testimony of his good works in his life, in your life. So I got very intentional. As I said, I would sit in my prayer chair every day and come up with things to thank God for, to see things God had done, as opposed to focusing on areas I hadn't seen the breakthrough yet. Focus on all the areas I had. And going into my prayer chair, I'll be honest, there's this sense of like, yeah, there's a few. I should probably focus on those few. That's a good idea. I was overwhelmed, especially with starting with my salvation. You saw me get emotional just now. I'm still in this place of that in itself is so amazing. Then my Bible was in my lap, and I thought, God, thank you for the revelatory realm you've given me. Every time I open up the Bible, I hear from you. I'm grateful for, and then I started thinking all the revelation he gave me and the shelves full of resources. And this is book number 7. And there's, I don't know how many CDs and courses and manuals that are on the shelf. And I thought, what was I thinking? Look at all the amazing things you have done, Lord. And then the enemy started lying to me. And just so you know how it works, even while I'm in the midst of praise, this little voice is saying, yeah, but your last video on YouTube had 63 views. What's the big deal about that? And then I just, I got where I was good ornery, where I heard that. And I thought, I think that's awesome. 63 people were encouraged. Jesus started with 12. That's 5 times the number Jesus started with. Take that, devil. 63 is awesome. I would travel halfway around the world to talk to 63 people, and I didn't have to. If God said there are 63 people in Outer Mongolia, I want you to go and help unlock the realms of power available to them in me so that they can put me on display in notable and remarkable ways, and they'll become well-known. You won't. My answer would be, which plane do I get on? That sounds awesome. I can't wait to do it. I'll fly a day and a half to do that. Yes. And so even once we get that this resistance is because the enemy is doing everything he can to limit you, I have discovered again and again and again and rediscovered. I mean, I wrote about this in the book Leviathan Exposed. So it's a constant relearning and going deeper with it. But I've learned to move in the opposite spirit, even against the enemy, so that like when the enemy's trying to discourage me and tell me nothing you do has ever amounted to anything, I've sat down and I'm like, Lord, let's review what I've seen you do, because it's not about me. It's about you. And all of a sudden, the simplest things, like I got weepy-eyed over the fact that God has blessed me with a wife and a family. Whereas I, my wife's wonderful. I grew up in a family where children were to be seen and not heard, and we'd be better if we weren't seen. So I was never really a kid person, or we family. I don't know how to put this, but family wasn't a big value. Like my family, what you did is you grew up, you got a good education, and then you went out and you made your way. Family was something you launched out from. It's nothing you stayed connected to. I'm blessed because my older sister is one of my best friends. We had a hub of family our whole life just with us. But marrying Yuri and marrying into the Korean family that I married into, we're over with our family all the time. They're over with us all the time. And you guys have heard me talk about, and part of the reason I talk about them so much is I still marvel at how much I've come to adore my nieces and nephew. These little rugrats that are the most wonderful kids in the world. And then the next minute, they're the biggest stinkers in the world. And you're like, what is going on? Stuff that would have made me leave the room. Now I just stand there and go, all right, stop hitting your sister. But I'm so grateful to be part of this family. This is amazing. And so this is a really great time to reflect on the big, but especially the little things that God has done and is precious to you. And we know that Thanksgiving is a key that brings multiplication. One of the reasons the enemy likes to discourage and be relentless in his oppression against us is he's very aware that murmuring and complaining work the same way, except it increases darkness. It increases the oppression. Murmuring and complaining, or what we could call venting, feels like it's releasing the pressure in the moment. But what it's actually doing is it works just like Thanksgiving, but the opposite way. Just like fear works like faith, but the opposite way. The substance of faith establishes the things that we already have in Christ in the eternal realm, in this realm. The substance of fear does the exact same things, but with the negative things. That's why Job declares, that which I feared has come upon me. That is a huge insight to fear works the same as faith, just for the things of darkness instead of the things of light. It's the same with murmuring and complaining. It works just like thanksgiving, but increasing that darkness that it feels like we're releasing because we're venting, we're murmuring, we're complaining, we're getting it all up and out. What I've discovered is I only murmur and complain to God. And as soon as I start that, I know it's not working. I think I've told you guys this before. When I was sick for so long, I lost count of the number of times I tried to have a pity party with the Holy Spirit and he just wouldn't engage. He never left me. He never forsake me. He never abandoned me. He never chastised me. He never shamed me. But it was like this palpable sense of I'm right here, but I'm not engaging in this. And I would have this revelation of this doesn't work, does it? So I want to encourage you that in a season of seemingly relentless resistance and fairly intense warfare, the reason for this is because what the Lord has revealed to me, and you may have heard me share on some different prophetic streams we've done, or I've been a guest on, we're in a 1 Kings 18 moment. We are in a truly epic, historic, biblical moment where we are being presented opportunities in the spirit to take a stand on behalf of nations and people groups and see them come back to the Lord. But, and I don't have time to teach into this morning because I want to make sure we hear from you guys. But so I won't unpack this whole thing, but it's very important to look at the position of Elijah's heart that he contended for Israel, not against Israel. Right now, many in my nation, the United States, many in the Church of the United States, even some of the prophetic voices in the United States, I'm not sure they have God's heart for America. They are very aware of the wickedness and corruption in our land, and they're calling an end to it. But I hear in it too much condemnation. And we want to come against and stand against the wickedness and the unrighteousness, but we must have Elijah's heart for the nation and even the wicked and stiff-necked people in the nation, the blind people in the nation. We don't stand with them. We don't stand for what they're standing for, but we stand for them before God. That will bring us back. A nation back, and we're going to see nations come back. The enemy's more aware of this than the church. That's why what the Lord showed me is in a 1 Kings 18 opportunity, you must be aware of the 1 Kings 19 traps, temptations, and landmines that the enemy will set. And again, we won't do a whole teaching on this. I'll probably do a free webinar on this fairly soon about seeing the Jezebel spirit torn down. Because after Elijah has the big victory on Mount Carmel, and even most of the occultic power force that the spirit of Jezebel working through the queen and the spirit of Ahab working through the king, where we get the names of those spirits, even with that occultic power source taken out or severely limited, it makes no sense that the threat of the queen or the principality through the queen would intimidate Elijah. You would think he'd stand up and say, I just saw fire fall from the sky. I saw my God turn an entire nation back to him. And by the way, he just supernaturally empowered me to outrace the chariots of Ahab. My God can do anything. Your days are done, man. But the threat comes and it's for some reason it lands. And one of the first things we see Elijah do is not only get discouraged and depressed and think, what's the point? What's the matter? But he separates from the one he's called to walk with, his armor bearer. And we've really got to watch over our hearts towards others right now. We've got to watch over our hearts towards God. And we've got to learn how to process loss without seeing it as defeat, because it's not defeat even when it is loss. And we talked about that last month, so I won't go back into that. But I want to encourage you that all this pressure in the spirit is because the enemy is aware of the impact, not just the impact you're going to have, the impact you are having. Because something the Lord showed me at the end of last year and early this year is the main target of the enemy right now amongst believers is our faith. And we've talked about the substance of our faith so many times, because believing in Jesus Christ is not just belief. It's actually a substance that's helped establish that reality here in the realms we're called to influence. So there's been an assignment of apostasy from hell to get us to turn from God because we're discouraged. We feel the relentlessness of the enemy and feel he's winning and our God's promises aren't for us, or because we question God's heart because of all that we're going through and we become like the disciples and run at him and say, do you not care that we're perishing down here? But the enemy is after our faith, because our faith not only is going to do great things, I am here to tell you, if the enemy's resisting you, it's because your faith is doing great things. Wow. And I know it doesn't look and feel that way, but the very fact that you believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the very fact that you're reading and declaring your Bible in faith, in the midst of all the resistance, in these times, standing in faith has even more power. That's why the Bible says, In the wicked and evil days, when you've done all you can to stand, stand some more. And we tend to read that and think of it from a carnal perspective of just hang in there, man. Just stand a little longer. Hang in there by your fingernails, man. That is not what that scripture means. That scripture is trying to wake us up to, when you've done all you can to stand and there's still resistance, stand some more, because you're actually enforcing and legislating into all of creation the utter, total, and victory of Jesus Christ, because you're choosing to stand, not stand and take it some more, but stand in faith, stand in him, stand in the substance of believing he is who he says he is. You are who you say you are, even if you haven't seen it. It is establishing those realms in the earth. You are having great impact for the kingdom. That's why the enemy is resisting you. Sometimes we teach, and it's not wrong, but it's limited in its rightness, that the enemy's coming against us because of what we're about to come into. That's true, but the enemy's coming against you not only to limit you from what you're coming into, but because you're having way more impact than you realize. You're having way more impact than you realize. And you guys have heard me tell the story so many times, and when I was the most discouraged and murmuring and complaining to God, and he was loving but firm with me to break me out of that self-pity. And I was telling him, I can't even stand up in the shower. I can't lift my head up off the back of this chair. The devil's taken me out. I've had no impact for the kingdom. I don't even think these prayers are working that I pray all the time. You know, I'm healed by your stripes. And he took me into a vision where at many, many, many years in the future, at the end of my time in the earth, I was coming into heaven and Jesus greeted me and his arm was around me and we're walking into the heavenly realm. And all these people come up to me and say, Robert, thank you for when you ministered healing to me. Thank you for the healing miracle you released to me. And I turned to the Lord and I said, Lord, you know me. I'm not great with names, but I'm really good with faces. I don't recognize any of these people. And he looked, and I said, when did I minister to them? And he looked me in the eye and he said, every time you declared, I am the Lord who heals, the word went forth and someone was touched. He said, part of your challenge in your times of discouragement is you didn't realize the impact you were having because you were so focused on getting the manifestation of your breakthrough, you missed the incredibly powerful ways I was using you. And that's when I learned that sometimes we're blessed with battles bigger than we expect, because there's fruit greater than we've ever imagined, spoils greater than we've ever imagined. And the enemy tries to make us feel weak and worthless. And the Lord wants us to know, you actually are one of my greatest warriors that I've entrusted with a battle that very few can fight. And your willingness to stand in faith that I'm the Lord who heals, when you have not seen that manifestation, you don't understand the impact of what you're coming into and what you're releasing out into the earth on behalf of the kingdom. And he let me know, you have not been sidelined. Ministry doesn't look like you expected it to right now, but you're actually having great impact for the kingdom in the earth. And that's when I really got to see, wait, the enemy's not resisting me and the manifestation of my healing to keep me from walking in my calling one day. The enemy's resisting me because I am having great impact for the kingdom right now, but God's so brilliant, he knows how to turn it and shift it so my impact is increased. What does this have to do with our topic? Everything, because our topic this month is the shoes of peace. And I think sometimes we think of peace as just like, you know, and for those of you who aren't Americans or, you know, my age growing up with the California influence through most of my life up until the last few years when California has just become devastated by the policies there. But we tend to think of the word peace as like, you know, the West Coast surfer chill. It's cool, bro. And just being at peace, man. Everything's cool. Everything's chill. That's really not what the gospel or the shoes of peace are about. The shoes of peace are being at peace in Christ, that he is who he says he is. You are who you say you are. And you walk that out. I love, what is it? Romans 16:20 that says the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. When we know he's the God of peace, we actually then, as we walk with him, we're crushing Satan. Now it's God doing it, but we're partnering with him because we know he's at peace. And one of my favorite revelations the Lord's ever given me that has to do with this, and then we'll shift to you guys. Sorry, I got a bug buzzing around here, is in John 20, when the disciples are, John, I think it's verse 19, it starts, and the disciples are literally and metaphorically locked up in fear. My old 1996 New Living, which isn't in print anymore, but I love this translation. I like it better than the updates New Living made. It says that they were behind locked doors because they were afraid. So they're literally behind locked doors. They're literally locked up because they're afraid. They've walled themselves off from the world in self-protection because of fear. But they're also metaphorically locked up. They're not out walking in all that Jesus has released them to and taught them for 3.5 years and released them to through the victory of the cross. They're locked up. That Jesus, the victorious risen Lord, who is now one all, done all, and is giving all, steps through the walls of the building and the metaphoric walls of their fear, and he says, "Peace be unto you," and it doesn't land. They continue to be a little freaked out. And he says again, "Peace be unto you." Now, what's key is he's not releasing peace that's like, "Hey, this is peace. I'm here to chill you guys out." That word in the Greek, and I know we've talked about this before, so it's review for most of us. That word in the Greek is eirene, or I may not be pronouncing it right, but it's E-I-R-E-N-E in the Anglicization of the Greek. And this is one of the ways it can be translated. The blessed state of a devout and upright man after death. So Jesus is saying, basically, I'm releasing the grace to die to yourselves, to die to fear, to die to the need to understand, to die to frustration, anger, discouragement, to die to all of it so you can come fully alive in me and go out there and change the world. That's what the gospel of, the shoes of peace are, is when we choose to walk in Jesus so much so, trusting him, trusting his word, trusting what he says when we're not seeing it or feeling it, and we choose to walk in that, we then are actually crushing Satan beneath our feet, even if he's resisting us. And here's the key to it all. He says this, it doesn't quite land. Then what does he do? He says, touch my hand, feel my side. What is he doing? He's putting on display the amount of his love, the reality of his love. He's saying, I want you to touch the wounds in my hand. I want you to feel the wound in my side. You're locked up because you're afraid and you're trying to protect and take care of yourself. What I want you to do is see and feel and experience in this moment that there's nothing I would not do. There's nothing I have not done to not only have you again, but to protect you and to see you walking in all that you're created for and called to. You don't have to worry so much about watching over yourself, because these wounds prove I will do anything and everything to watch over you, and that I can do it better for you than you can do it for yourself. And now when he says, peace be unto you, it lands and it says something like, and they rejoiced, or they felt joy. Choosing to walk in peace is not you mustering up a sense of it's going to be okay and for yourself. It's choosing to walk in Jesus in the hard times, and you're going to have great impact. You're going to crush Satan beneath your feet. But the key to it is look to the cross. The key to it is look to the wounds he took for you. When that relentless oppression and resistance was coming against me for 6 months, the breakthrough moment is when I sat down to give him thanks to say, I am going to focus on all the good I've seen you do in me and through me. And God, by his grace alone and through his wisdom alone, he gets all the credit, had me start with my salvation. What is that? That's touching the wounds in his side. That's feeling the holes in his hands for me. He did that for me. And then all of a sudden I can come into that place of peace of God. I don't know what's going on. I don't like what's going on, but I know you're there and I know your care. And if you could reach me, if you could crush Satan on my behalf when I was actively against you, how much more now that I'm yours? I let go. I die to, I reign a to, I embrace your peace to the need to understand. And I simply rejoice that you're there and that you care and that I get to walk with you.
Amen.
So that's the keys to the shoes of peace. I hope that's an encouragement. Now let's shift. I want to hear from you all. If you've got a question, if you've got a comment, if you've got a prayer request, either raise the little yellow icon by, I forget how to do this every single month. Oh, the reactions button on the bottom of the Zoom screen. It's reactions, and oh, Betty's got it. So let's start with Betty. Go ahead and unmute yourself, Betty. And if like me, you get confused about the icon, you can wave your hand and we'll get to you and we'll get to as many as you can before I got ahead by a little after 10. How are you this morning, Betty? Looks like you're driving.
Oh, yes. I just got home. So thank God. Thank you so much for those words of encouragement. And I wanted to let you know that exactly what you talked about is what I have gone through for the last couple of weeks. And it's amazing that in the middle of the storm, and they're suffering, right? That we can see what the Lord did for us to give us peace, to give us joy, to give us just that sense that he's got us. He's under control. And I just so much appreciate, because exactly what you just talked about is exactly the journey that God has me on for the last couple weeks. It's has to do with my daughter, so it's very precious to me. And I just see his hand even in the worst of times. And so thank you so much for that, and I can relate to that 1,000%.
Well, I want to commend you for the champion you are, Betty, that you're still standing strong. And I know we talked about it early in the year. I don't know if you were on that Zoom call, but the encounter I had with the Lord one morning, actually December 31st of last year, and what we've started to call the greater grace word for 2022 that he released to me. But one of the things he told me that brought me into that was I was reviewing the year with him and basically saying last year was so intense, especially with the huge fight for my life's wife, my wife's life against the aggressive form of cancer that attacked her. Wow. And I was thanking the Lord, but I was also letting him know I had this moment of like, I said, Lord, I know I didn't always walk it out well last year. And I feel like there were times I really got my rear end handed to me into the spirit, and I'm sorry. And he was gracious, but he didn't receive the sorry. He just said, I don't think you understand how much impact you had last year. And I was like, Lord, I just felt like I got knocked down again and again and again. And he said, yes, but by my grace, you stood back up. And the victory last year was continuing to stand. And that's when he started to show me the impact of having faith, especially in difficult times. And then he talked about the greater grace that would be released in 2022, because the battles were going to be more intense in 2022. Wow. But we were going to have a greater grace to walk in everything we're talking about. But he really helped me see, and I felt like he gave me this assignment to encourage the people of God that even at our hardest moments, to wake us up to the fact that simply standing in faith is huge. Because we feel like, again, like I'm barely standing in faith. I'm barely hanging on. We don't understand how choosing to believe in this world, in this culture, with all the mocking of God, the fact that we are still standing, believing that Jesus Christ is Lord and being willing to accept him as Lord when all of culture is saying it's all about self, it's all about self, it's all about self. the yes. impact you're having. So Betty, we thank you for being the champion that you are. And Lord, I ask for that greater grace you promised us in 2022. I ask for a fresh filling for Betty of a greater grace, a greater, even greater grace to seek you and sit with you, an even greater grace to operate in even greater levels and substances of faith in the midst of the battles, a greater grace for prayer, a greater grace for greater authority.
Yes,
a greater grace in every area, Lord. We thank you that you promised when we steward what you've given us, we will see increase. And Betty is a good, virtuous steward. So we call forth an increase of greater grace. We call forth an increase of greater manifestations of your promises and blessings, greater provision, greater protection, greater grace. And we call breakthrough in the situation with her daughter right now in Jesus's name. We cover her daughter in the blood of Jesus Christ. We declare the complete, utter, and total victory of Jesus in her daughter, over her daughter, around her daughter, and every circumstance for her daughter. We declare you are the God of breakthroughs, and we thank you that you break in and break through with your greater grace and the fullness of your goodness. You're restoring, healing, back on track, breakthrough power. Everything that's hindered, limited, or interfered with Betty's daughter walking in all that you have for her, we declare your burning bush breakthrough power is coming upon her right now and removing all of it.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.
Wow. I'm glad I wasn't driving. I feel the glory, man. I feel the glory. Thank you so much.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God.
Bless you.
You're a champion. You're a champion. Thank you so much for being part of our family. You are a champion. Yes. Akure, I see your hand, but I don't see your wonderful face, but we can hear you. There you are.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you. Yes, my friend.
Okay, beautiful. I thank God. Thank you so much for your testimony. It gives me hope. What you're saying, I can relate to a point. My husband, we are currently separated, but the Lord had told me that he was going to give me, we are going to be restored, but I've been praying and there's been an intense warfare. Oh my God, I've had warfare for over a year. I didn't know what I was battling, but God began to reveal to me the exact things I was battling, but because of his faithfulness, he has shown me certain things, given me truth, revelation that I could never have imagined, and it just makes me see how much the church really does not know, and I'm grateful for that. So I'm hopeful, and I've asked for you to pray for my husband, because everything you described yourself to be is what he acted like he was a Christian, but I found that there was more to him that I didn't know, and I'm like, oh my God. But then God told me that even though the devil did that, but he's going to turn it around for our good, and God began to reveal, in fact, he's the fight and problem we had actually revealed my assignment. So wow. I now know that God has revealed to me that I am a repairer of the breach for my generation and my family, Amen. The bloodline. So God has revealed that to me. So even though it wasn't fun, but now I know who I am in Christ, and now I know what I'm supposed to be doing for my family. I know exactly who my children are in the spirit. I know who my husband really is and why the devil's fighting so hard. And the thing that really, really touched me, one time I was praying for my husband, God showed me the entanglements, you know, that he was involved in, and what he told me to do, because I thought he was praying in tongues, which is powerful too, but then he said to stop, and I'm like, okay, I'm used to that, I'm praying in tongues, what else am I supposed to do? So I kept quiet and I stopped, and then he said, now use the blood, and immediately when I saw in the spirit what he was struggling with, immediately I said, Father, I cover him in the blood of Jesus. Everything he was entangled with just fell off, like smoothly off. What touched me so much is that God is so loving. He is so kind that despite everything that I know about my husband, which I wouldn't expose, but I say, God, you have to love him so much that even when he doesn't even care about you, that you're doing this. And I felt so privileged. I said, oh my God, I'm so grateful that you will use me to do this. I felt like so unworthy, but grateful that he would choose me to do this. And I hope that when my husband comes out of all this, that he will really understand and see that God really loves us.
Yes.
Even when we're in darkness, he's so loving that he will pull us. I can't describe how wonderful God is. It's just amazing. Amen. So when I see you say the things that you were involved in, I say, well, he sounds just like what he's describing is what my husband, you know, has been going through. So I want to ask if you will pray for him as well, that God
will remove
him from everything that's not of God and bring him home safely. Give him the courage to stand up. And the devil's been fighting really, really hard. Really, really hard. I'm not going to go too much into the details. People have
need the opportunity
to speak as well. But also, I want to pray that the Lord has led me to start a business that I'm like, he told me to do it. And I'm like, I don't do this kind of stuff. But I know it's all God. I have asked for a revelation, and he proved it. I'm telling you, do this. He told me how to go about it. But I read Romans 12. That is my prayer. My prayer is Romans 12.
Awesome. What's your husband's name, Akure?
Akin, A-K-I-N.
Akin, okay. And then one thing, I want to make one suggestion for you to consider. Way up, pray into it. But I wrote a book called 31 Decrees of Blessings for Men. And every single chapter is a short devotional on something available to men in God, as a son of God, something available to them, and a revelation of who they are as a son. And the reason I'm bringing this up, I felt a Holy Spirit nudge to share this with you. My wife had a friend, a patient of hers, actually, who has become a friend, who we gave a copy of that book to, because her brother was a super intelligent, mega prodigal, like so dead set against God. He was a little too smart for his own good. But Yuri gave her friend a copy of that book, and she prayed through, because every chapter is a scripture, a devotional to open a man's eyes to who he is in God and the powers available to him in God as a son. But then there's 10 decrees to frame that thing in their life and activation steps to step into it. But what she did is she made the 10 decrees. She did one a day for I don't know how months. It was like 3 months. So she went through the whole thing like 3 times and did so every single one of the decrees over 3 months, 3 times. So 30, however that is. But what the reason I'm bringing it up is she came in to see Yuri and said, I need to tell you what I did. My brother is a different man. He loves the Lord with all his heart now. Those decrees work. So consider, because I think you can, I mean, sometimes it goes on sale for like 99 cents for a digital copy on some of the ebook things. I mean, you can get it, because I don't remember. Where are you guys located? Are you in the U.S.?
I am. Actually in Maryland.
Oh, all right. If for any reason getting a copy is not feasible for you guys right now, email me, robert@patriciaking.com, and I'll get you. I've got copies lying around here somewhere. I'll send you, because I so believe God can do for your husband what he did for me. So let me pray for him, and then we'll pray for your business as well. Lord, we want to thank you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're the exact same God right now with Akin that you were with me 19 and 7/8 years ago, whatever it is, 20 years ago, outside my cabin in the woods of Montana. I thank you, Lord, that you have the perfect way to speak to him and reach him. Lord, we stand on your truth. Corey is called upon the name of the Lord. She is saved in all of her household, and that includes her husband. So God, I even call it settled in the spirit. We're just waiting for the manifestation in the natural. And Lord, I lift Akin up to you, and I say thank you that Akin, just like you added a letter, here's what I'm hearing for him, Akure. Just as he added a letter to Abram's name and made him Abraham, and he went from being a blessed father to a father of multitudes, he's going to give your husband a revelation of who not only God is, but who your husband is. He's going to add a letter to his name, and he's going to go from Akin to a king. Because he will know the King of Kings, he will become a king who serves the King of Kings. And we declare everything the enemy has sent against Akin to keep him from walking in the fullness of the revelation of Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, but also the fullness of the revelation of who Akin has been made to be as a king in the earth, serving the King of Kings with influence. with influence on behalf of the kingdom. We break every lie of the enemy off Akeen right now. I command everything the enemy has sent against him to blind him, deafen him, dumb him, or stiff neck him to the truth and reality of the gospel and Jesus's love. We declare it's broken. We mute every lying spirit assigned to Akeen right now. We blind every spirit that is trying to observe what he's doing and find ways to keep him off track. We send angels who will perform God's word. We come into agreement with your word, God, that as we pray and declare your word, like Acts 16:31, that a quarry is called upon your name. She is saved and all of her household. That angels are being released to get Akeen on track and to help usher him and steward him in to the perfect way you have to reach him, whether it's a sovereign visitation like me or someone he admires and looks up to gets saved and shares it with him. God, we know you have the perfect path for Akeen, and we declare he is on the road to Damascus even now, and that you will find a way to knock him off the high horse of the flesh, the high horse of the intellect, the high horse the enemy has assigned to him. We declare that the light is going to be so bright and that he will be knocked off that high horse and come into a saving revelation of Jesus Christ and into a revelation of who he truly is as a son of God. And we declare that Akeen will become a king, serving the King of Kings in great and glorious ways. In Jesus' name, amen. And we thank you, Lord, for the revelation and the wisdom you're giving Akure for her business. We thank you for the divine insight. We thank you for the wisdom, the blueprints, the strategies. You have assigned her this business. You have given her this business. We call it blessed. And we thank you, God, that your promise is all she has to do is ask for wisdom and you will give it. So thank you for wisdom in how to establish and build this business. Thank you, God, that you prosper and bless her in this business so she can prosper and bless others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wow, you just spoke what God already told me.
Right
he
on.
Akure wed Paul. God is converting from Saul to Paul. So he told me this and he used to tell me, pray Saul to Paul. Pray Saul to Paul. So you just read his message.
Excellent.
Thank you so much. God has shown thank you.
Bless thank you, Akure, and thank you so much for being part of our PKM family. Thank you. Thank you. Nefi, I see you. How are you, my friend?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Thank you. I'm doing really better after your prayer last time. I'm eating better and a few pounds I gained. Thank you for praying for me. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God.
I'm so blessed by today's teaching. Only understand that peace is a weapon. I had wrong understanding before. Thank you. So all I need is him. I'm a short. Can you please pray for me? I started moving around. I had surgery in the month of May. Now I got rescue. And I started doing the chores at work little by little. But by both legs started hurting, especially the right.
Say again, Nithi, what started hurting on the right? Your shoulder?
Right leg.
Leg, okay.
Leg and below the hip. So. Okay. Can you pray for
that? Absolutely. Father God, we thank you for Nithi. And first of all, Lord, we praise you and we give you thanks for the breakthrough, for helping her absorb nutrients and gain weight, and that you have sorted this nutritional issue or whatever it was, the abdominal that you dealt with last time so powerfully, God. And we thank you, the same God, in her hip and in her leg. And right now, Lord, we speak to the hip and leg and we command them to be strengthened. Muscles be strengthened, tendons be strengthened, flexors be strengthened, anatomy be strengthened in the natural, bones be strengthened in the natural. Lord, anywhere there's inflammation, we command it right now to diminish in Jesus's name. We come against everything of the enemy that's been designed against Nithi, either directly or in her bloodline, and anything of the enemy that is there must bow in Jesus's name, in her hip, in her leg, in her bloodline, in her generations. Nithi is covered by the blood of Jesus. She is sanctified, set apart, and made holy by the Lamb. And no matter what was in the past, we declare it is completely, utterly, and totally cut off. And it cannot come against her in any way. And we command all pain to go now in Jesus's name. And wherever the body needs natural healing and natural strengthening, we command an acceleration in Jesus's name right now. Pain go, pain go. Inflammation go. If there's any little tiny tears, we command them to be healed right now in Jesus's name. And I'm seeing like little tiny, almost like on like the bottom of a blue jeans, like that fraying, Lord, anywhere, anything in the body. And Lord, I don't know if that's a muscle, if it's a tendon, I don't know what it is, but anywhere there's those little tears, we command them to not only be healed, but for that whole area to be strengthened now in Jesus's name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Now, Neethi, do me a favor and be gentle with yourself, but move around and see if there's any change in those areas.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Anything of the enemy that would try to come against her, we bind it and break it in Jesus's name, and we speak healing and strengthening, healing and strengthening. Thank you, Lord. How's it feel, Neethi?
So good, so good. No pain.
Praise no God. Pain. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you so much, Neethi. You're such a champion. We so appreciate you. God bless you. Kimberly, I see your hand raised. If you could unmute yourself, we definitely have time to get to you. So please.
Thank you.
How are you?
Yeah, very good. I just would love for you to pray for my father.
Is your dad Ross? I saw that comment.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. He just had so much opposition. He's such a strong man of God and just been very frustrated and, just had a lot of attacks against him. And then if you'd also pray for my husband's stomach, he's just had some like diverticulitis kind of flares up.
What's your husband's name?
Jeremy.
Jeremy. Okay. Lord, let's start with Jeremy, God. Okay. Right now we speak to Jeremy's intestines and we call them blessed in Jesus's name. We come against diverticulitis. We come against inflammation. We come against blockages. We come against anything that's trapped in the gut and causing this situation. Anywhere there's binding, we command it to go now, right now in Jesus's name. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you go moving through Jeremy's gut right now, straightening and bringing healing to any area that's kinked or clogged. Lord, I don't fully understand diverticulitis, but I know it can almost be like a knot. So right now we command anything that's knotted or clotted or anything right now to be healed and restored. Lord, we also speak to the flora in his gut and we command an increase of healthy gut flora. And we call the gut blessed in every single area. Diverticulitis go, pain go, gut issues be removed. And we speak the fullness of your blessing and health in Jesus's name. And Lord, we lift Ross up to you. And we honor him as a man of God. We honor him as a son of God. And we thank you that all of your blessings and benefits are his in Christ Jesus. And we speak forth an increased manifestation right now in Jesus's mighty name. Right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, we command healing to Ross. We command all pain to go in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Go. All oppression, go. We stand in the gap on Ross's behalf. And we thank you, Lord, that angels stand in the gap. We thank you even more that you stand in the gap. And we draw a bloodline around Ross right now. And we command the oppression to cease in Jesus's name. We release the irene of God to Ross. And in that, Lord, we declare the enemy is defeated And Lord, where there's been the wrestles, there's been the struggles, I'm even asking that you reveal to him and show him, like you did for me, all of the victories that he's brought about for the kingdom in the earth, because he's continued to stand and stand some more. And in that, Lord, I ask for the rewards, the spoils of those battles to come pouring into his life right now, including all attacks to go, pain to go, frustration to go, discouragement to go. I declare a restoration of his heart right now in Jesus's name. And Lord, in this season of burning bush encounters, I ask that you would speak to Ross, even as you spoke to Moses, where Moses had 40 years of discouragement. Moses had 40 years of feeling hindered, limited, interfered with, and so much more. One encounter with you at the burning bush, and he was back on track. Remind Ross even more of who you are. Remind Ross even more of who he is in you, with you, and for you. Share with him the victories that he has helped. Encourage him. Release that encouragement to him, even as you did in Joshua, in Joshua 1. We say, Ross, be encouraged. Be encouraged. Do not be discouraged. Be encouraged. We break off the assignment of discouragement of hell and release and come into agreement with the assignment of encouragement from heaven in Jesus's mighty name. And Lord, in the burning bush encounter, also supernaturally empower Ross to see breakthrough in this resistance and to walk in the fullness of all that you created him for and called him to, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kimberly. Hey, Summer, I'm reading your question, and I apologize because I didn't catch it right when you wrote it. I don't know what it's in response to. Is what on Patricia King's website?
I was just asking about your 31 decrees, but you already said it, so I'm good.
It is. Oh, okay, good. Well, thank you. And I'm sorry I didn't see it as soon as it popped up.
No. It's fine.
But yes, it's everything's on our web store. It's also on Amazon. It's all of our books are pretty much everywhere. ChristianDiscountBook.com, all that stuff. But you can always get our resources on our web store. We are trying to switch almost 100% to digital. And some of the older stuff will only be digital downloads, but it'll also be the only place you can get them. But you can always find that stuff on our website. All right. It's a little after 10, but Marlene, I see your hand. I can't leave without saying hello to you, my friend. You'll be our last one. I have a little bit of a time limit, but I don't want to miss you. So what's going on with you, Marlene? If you could unmute yourself, my friend. There you go.
Okay. The last time, I want to say what you shared today really ministered to me, because I have been feeling like I've gone through a lot of discouragement too. And, just a bit of depression. And what you ministered was right on. It is the resistance of the enemy, but God is doing a work. And when I was on the last time, I was telling you what you shared last time was in the message I shared Sunday. Remember I was telling you that?
Yes.
And I know you prayed for me, and I was very encouraged. And the pastor really felt the message was right on. But I had a very prominent friend who is a very, very spiritual friend, totally came against it and said it was the wrong message for this time. So that was kind of hard to handle. I don't know if that's happened to you. But anyway, there were a couple that walked out. But because I was so built up in faith from that last session that I just went like, it was really God. It was such an anointing, just such authority that, and I know I really felt it was the message God wanted me to give.
Amen.
Yeah, regardless of how certain people reacted.
Yeah. Well, a couple of things, Marlene, that I hope will help. If you haven't had a chance, I really encourage you, go to my YouTube channel and watch the four-part series. And it's all four parts together is a little over an hour. It's not like each one's an hour of prophetic warnings. because in it I share the three prophetic warnings God has given for this hour. And one of them is about how important it is right now to watch our hearts over our hearts towards one another because of the assignment of division. So I can't go into all of it just for time's sake, but we'll go into more detail. Plus you'll hear from Ryan Johnson and Benjamin Dietrich, who add wonderful insights to all of the warnings. But we can't control how people treat us and respond to us. And I know you know this, you're a seasoned, mature believer. But we can control how we respond. And I want to say, well done you. I think we've all had somebody come against us. And let's get real. It hurts. It's discouraging. It seems unfair. But ultimately, those are some of our greatest opportunities. And I'm sure you've heard the story. Patricia shared it so powerfully, and I got to live it out with her and Ron, of the incredible, incredible attack she came under for the Glory School. And I don't have time to go into it, but I was even amazed as a new believer. And she chose love again and again and again. What she often doesn't talk about, and since we're family, I'll share, and I'm not exposing her. I'm actually incredibly proud of her. She rarely shares how much it hurt. But she and Ron literally were my next door neighbors. So like, our little house here in Maricopa is like 1500 square feet. So from that wall, they're like 9 feet away. And I think I've told you guys, Ron's nickname for me back then, it was before I was married. His nickname for me was Kramer, because I ate out of his refrigerator more than mine. Cause I traveled so much. There was never food in my fridge. I'd come home. I'd go over there and eat. So I was over there with them all the time. And there were times when you could see the pain of people who had been allies of Patricia's, friends of Patricia's, really were harsh with her. And she never, ever, ever violated love. She occasionally had to establish a boundary. She continued to submit to authority and to apostolic counsel. She's the head of our ministry, but she so believes in the reality of kingdom submission that we have apostolic leaders outside the ministry that give counsel to our ministry. And I've watched, even when we weren't sure we were in agreement with them, it's only submission if you submit. And even when we weren't in agreement with them, per se, she still would submit, and God always turned it to the good because he honors honor. So Marianne, I know those types of things aren't fun. One other thing I'll say, and because you know I love you and I believe in you, I see every time I look at you, I see you not only powerful intercession, but I see you standing in pulpits, preaching and teaching. I believe in this call on your life. I believe it to increase. But I'll also say this, and I'm not saying this to you so much as sharing what I've learned. Some of the, and I don't know what nice word to use, so I'll use this word, meanest things that have been said to me, God, the worst-hearted things that have been said to me, I have learned with God to sit down with him and sort through them. And I'll tell you, some of the things that have been delivered in the meanest ways, there was a kernel of truth in there that would help me grow.
Oh, wow.
It was hard, and God would help me see, you know, part of the reason, because have you ever noticed, like, when somebody says something really mean to you, and it's not fun, but it doesn't sting, it doesn't get under your skin, and then sometimes they'll say those things, and it really stings. It's not just not nice to hear, but it gets under your skin. I don't know about you, but the Lord helped me see that that's usually the time I need to process with him and say, why does this hurt so much? And yeah, usually it's because there's a little kernel of truth that I need to hear to grow in. And it's not even that it was delivered harshly as opposed to with love, because like, I've received wonderful correction and input and constructive criticism from Patricia over the years, because she's so believe, but she's so good at love and encouragement. Yeah. Even when it's like, oh man, I didn't see that. Thank you. Yeah, it's good. Cause, but I'm telling you, some of the meanest, most unkingdom ways people have treated me, when there was a little sting to it, it's because there was a little kernel that God helped take the emotion out of, and even taking the, you know, walling off from the horrible way it was brought against me and realizing, oh, there's a little thing in there that I can grow from. So don't dismiss the input because it was brought the wrong way. Now, Marlene, you might process with God and he's going to tell you just, it was just their hurt. Just love them and put it all to the side. But I'm just saying there's been a handful of times for me over the years. Like I'll give you one quick example. I poured my heart out at a meeting years ago in the Midwest for 3 days, just session after session, ministering, prophesying, preaching, giving everything that I had. And the pastors who hosted, they're so dear. At the end of the event, they were like, you know what? We want to close by ministering to Robert. He's given so much for the last few days. Let's pour into him. And if you have a, we're going to pray over him. If you have a prophetic word, bring it. I'm sitting on this little stool in front of this small church. This guy comes up and says, I have the word of the Lord for you. And I was like, wonderful. And in this really harsh tone, he said, you know, you were sharing the testimony of how sick and weak you've been and how sometimes you got frustrated. You know what your problem is? You get discouraged too easy. You need to toughen up for God. And I remember I made all the right responses. I knew to respond in love. I said, thank you for your input. I appreciate you sharing what you believe you're hearing. Thank you so much. But for some reason, it stung, not just because he was really mean about it. And I was like, dude, I just poured out for 3 days. Have a heart, man. On the flight home, I was processing with the Lord, and the Lord did speak to me. And he said, part of the reason it stung so much, son, is you do sometimes get discouraged too easily. You always bounce back. And he would say to me, you always bounce back. I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of how you're tough on the rebound, but there's actually something to this. I'd like to help you to be able to stand a little stronger against discouragement on the front end of things. And okay. I had to admit, the Lord showed me, he said, there's still a little residue of that self-pity in you. And that's why you get discouraged so easily. And he was wonderful. He's like, I'm so sorry the way he brought that, but there is something in there I want to help you with. So when I, you know, we talk about how don't cast your pearls before swine in Proverbs. One of the things the Lord has told me is sometimes we have to separate the pearl from the swine. So sometimes the swine brings the pearl and we want to get rid of the pearl because of the way the swine brought it. But just as we don't cast our pearls before swine, occasionally we have to separate the pearl from the swine. I'm not saying that that's the case in this instant, Marlene. I'm just saying, because I know the call for you to preach and teach, I can see it on you, that these kind of things happen. And I know you did this part well. Love the person, watch over your heart, don't take an offense. Even if something offensive is done, we don't have to take the offense because offenses are taken, not given. Because if someone gives offense, you don't have to take it. If you have an offense, right. It's not because they gave it, it's because you took it. And right. We can rationalize and justify how offensive what they did was, but we still don't have to take it. So that's key number one that you're already very good at. Key number two is if the sting remains, maybe process with God. Why? Because maybe there's a little nugget and he's going to highlight it to you because you're going to grow from it. I personally experienced that. I hope that helps.
Yes, it does. It really does. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
You're so welcome, my friend. Let me pray over all you guys as we close. Sorry, I do need to go to the next glorious assignment. And I know you all do too. Thank you so much for taking your time with us this morning. As I say, we look forward to this every month. I look forward to this every month. And I bless you in the name of Jesus, especially in this season of burning bush encounters, whether you're tangibly experiencing them or you're receiving them by faith. I add my faith to yours. And I declare that we are in a season of burning bush encounters. And our glorious Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to you as he spoke with Moses. And even more, he's dealing with anything and everything the enemy has sent against you to block you, hinder you, delay you, or interfere with you in any single way. I declare discouragement is breaking off now, and the Lord himself is coming. As he washed the disciples' feet, I see him washing yours right now. And in that, I see him also slipping his shoes of peace on you for this season. And I declare you go forth from our time together today, renewed in walking in the shoes of peace, renewed in crushing Satan beneath your feet, renewed in the revelation of who your God is and what he's capable of, renewed in the revelation of who you are in, with, and for your God, renewed in how you've been supernaturally empowered through the finished work of the cross, the empty tomb, and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, to be freed, fueled, and furthered in all that you're called to and all that you're created for, the glory of Jesus Christ. In his mighty name, I pray for you, and I declare over you, God loves you with an everlasting love. He really, really does. Amen. God Thank bless you. You. And Thank I'll see you all next
Thank
month.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, guys. God bless love you all.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Thank see you, Rabbi.